Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And also in Luke 10, 17 through 21. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen. Thank you so much. I had the opportunity to go out the road yesterday. And, you know, we went a little ways and had to make our first stop, turn the car off and eat some snacks. And that beautiful stretch of road right before you get to the airport made me think of the long journey to Haines from Dubuque, Iowa. We went on 8-lane freeways and 2-lane dirt roads, some Alcan highway with potholes and some beautiful smooth stretches. And of course, the finest piece of road is right here in town, the newly built highway. The beautiful bright yellow stripe in the middle and a bright white fog line on the side. Just the kind of road that you would want to be on. And that center line is the axis of the road, the center point of the road that shows, you know, which lane is which. And the whole road is divided right down that center line. And our discipleship as followers of Christ has a center line and an axis as well. And it is Jesus Christ himself. That center line keeps us from going too far into thinking that discipleship is simply a matter of the head and of factual knowledge, or that discipleship is merely about personal experience and spiritual experience. With this axis of Jesus as our teacher, we have a well-rounded and well-grounded experience of discipleship. So what is discipleship? It's one of those church words that isn't in the Bible, like Trinity, an important word to us, but the word discipleship doesn't appear in the Bible. The concept is definitely there, though. Jesus called disciples to himself. And in the first century, in that time, there was a tradition, was part of God's people being restored after they fell to pieces and lost everything. They were brought back to their land and they were trying to be faithful to God. And part of it was that there were teachers who were well trained in the scriptures who would call disciples. And those disciples were not merely school pupils, although that's the word disciple. It means a student. They were more like disciples of Jackie Chan, masters of martial arts. You know, they had to really learn and really study their teacher, not just learn some facts. In fact, the idea was to emulate the rabbi, the teacher, in every way, and to follow them closely and be 24/7 thinking about how to become like your teacher. So Jesus has done that for us. Jesus has called us. We are disciples. The word Christian appears one time in the Bible, and the word disciple appears quite a bit. We're disciples of Christ. Christ is our teacher, our rabbi, and we follow him. We follow Christ. We're Christ followers. So, this is the third sermon in the series of the core values of Haines Presbyterian Church. When the team was asking me questions, trying to figure out if they wanted me, and I was trying to figure out if it'd be smart for me to come here, they asked me about the core values. Because Pastor Chris Carlson, in his excellent work as an interim, gathered a team together. We found these core values. You receive them as a congregation, and they come up from you. They come up from your church. This is what's in your heart. And they're excellent. They're from the Lord. So we're preaching them through, and the third one is discipleship. Discipleship. Usually in a church context, we think of discipleship as Sunday school and Bible studies and so on, learning more about God. And it is that. But as I said, it's following Jesus as well. So I'd like you to consider these three efforts and areas of discipleship. As disciples, we behold, we belong, and we become. Beholding is to observe Jesus in the Scriptures, reading your Bible. We behold Christ in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are God's revelation, and that's where we go to find out what Jesus did and what He taught. And I remember a time in my high school youth group that was a really strange sensation. I loved my youth group. It was like the happiest time of my week. I had the best time with those friends. But sometimes somebody had the poor planning to break out a Bible trivia game. And I was just not ready for that. I mean, this was a strange feeling. Like, I was so excited about God and church and youth group, but they started getting out this Bible trivia game, and I was getting creamed. I didn't know anything. And everybody else knew everything, and all of a sudden I had this strange feeling of rejection stirring up in me. I thought, that's weird. The Bible's not supposed to make me feel rejected by other people. So I want to say this. If you're a Bible beginner, your experience with the Bible is not supposed to be rejection. It's supposed to be comfort. And Isaiah chapter 30 is the evidence of this. In Isaiah chapter 30, God is speaking to a community that's about to be humbled in the most terrible way. And they're in the middle of the whole book of Isaiah are these powerful messages of comfort and restoration. And the message we read today was a message of restoration to a people that needed it. And how did the restoration come? When you're rejected, when you're hurting, when you're lost, when you're alone, you're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You've had affliction, you've had adversity, but now I'm going to comfort you by training you and teaching you. Your teacher will be close at hand. So, if you're a Bible beginner, I encourage you to read the Bible. And if you've been reading the Bible your whole life, I encourage you to read it again and again, the whole thing. But if you're a beginner, let me encourage you just to start with Jesus. Start with Jesus. In my time of serving God, since I've given my life to Him, I've had opportunities to be there when God's drawing people to Himself. And then suddenly they think, I want to read the Bible. You know, this is crazy. It's crazy that I'm starting to follow God. It's crazy that I'm starting to believe this. I want to read the Bible. This is going to be great. And I'll tell them, you know, start with Luke or Matthew or something like that. And they'll, bam, straight to Genesis, right to the beginning. And it's great. God creates everything and there's creatures. The next thing you know, it's weird. Everybody dies. There's Nephilim. What are those? And there's, you know, all these strange things happen. And then you get into lists of people and laws that are related to the ancient world. And somewhere in Numbers, you decide you're just going to go back to binge watching Shark Tank and, you know, forget reading the Bible. So if you're hearing me, whether by internet or by this message this morning, and you're a Bible beginner, if you intend to be a disciple of Christ, a Christ follower, start with Christ. And get yourself a red letter Bible and just look for the red letters. Or go to the table of contents and look for the New Testament. Start there. And then go back to the Old Testament. We behold as disciples. We learn. We learn the material. We become biblically literate. We also belong. When Jesus called disciples to Himself, He called them as individuals. Andrew, come here. Peter, come here. Philip, James, John. But He brought them as a group. He didn't say, Andrew, all right, we're going to start at the beginning and go to the end, and then I'm going to excuse you. You're done. Now we're going to go to Peter. Because part of what they had to learn as disciples was how to deal with each other, how to live together. And you see Jesus working with them when they had tensions among them and they were wondering who was going to be the greatest, kind of like I did during the Bible trivia game. And Jesus allows us to be in community to form us and to shape us because we need it. The Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I want to tell you that in order for that proverb to ring true in our lives, we have to have relationships that allow for some vulnerability. Like Amy was talking about in the children's message. Jesus came, Christ died to save sinners. So when we're together in community, that's the community that we're in. People who needed a Savior to save them. I have to say a word about constructive criticism, and maybe I don't, but I'm going to. Constructive criticism is a term that that has a bit of a problem with it, just in this sense, that we use the word criticism in a way that isn't perhaps the original meaning of the word. criticism or critique is from the Greek word criticize or something like that, but it means judge, the Greek word for judging. And when we talk about a restaurant critique or an art critic, there's somebody that can observe with an educated mind what's good and bad about that food or that art or that restaurant, and they'll give an explanation, including the good and the bad. But when we hear about criticism, if somebody criticizes me, it means they said I was bad. Doesn't mean they said I was good and bad. So when we use the term constructive criticism, we usually mean constructive condemnation, which is an oxymoron. The scripture says that Satan is the accuser of the church. And if we needed more accusation, God would have gave us another devil. What we need is constructive, you know, critique, like an art critic. That could, there's something to that, truth. The scripture tells us to build each other up, and it tells us to admonish and encourage one another. It's a bit more like a coach yelling from the sidelines. Now, a good coach won't tear down the team, but they might say, get over there! Right? He's open, or something like that. Run faster, the track coach might say. I don't know. I coach fishing. Hold the rod up, reel down, and pull up. By the way, when we went out the road yesterday, we saw a bull moose, and Lucas caught his first salmon. It was awesome. Yeah! All right. Clapping is okay in church. So, when we're called into community together, we're called to develop the kind of relationships that allow for truth and vulnerability at the same time. Well, we trust that we can be exposed in the parts of our lives that aren't on track, and that we can encourage each other truthfully, not sugarcoating in a way that's going to harm somebody, but not criticizing in a way that's the devil's job. So that's one of the ways that God forms us to become like Jesus Christ. We behold, seeing Christ in the scriptures, we belong because Christ forms us together in community, and we also become. And that's why I included this scripture in Luke. The scripture in Luke looks like a missionary passage, and there'll be some overlap between the mission and evangelism and the discipleship and some of these core values that we have. We think, okay, we're sent. God sends us out into mission. But Jesus sent them out to disciple them. It was part of his discipleship program. He sent the 12 out. He sent the 72 out. And when he sent them out, he gave them instructions, go and preach the kingdom of God. They came back and said, even the demons submit to us. Jesus, the things that you did, the powerful things that you did, God did through us. I was looking out my window in my office at the church in Oregon, and this long-haired guy on a unicycle riding barefoot was in my parking lot. I said, wow. I ran out and I said, I got to meet him. I got to meet you. And we struck up a friendship. We started talking about God. We started talking about faith. He went fishing with me in November with no shoes on. This is a very cool guy. Very cool guy. And as we talked, he was interested in the Lord and drawn toward the Lord, but he was repulsed by Christianity. And one of the conversations we had, I said, you know, it's not just about the Bible and the things I've talked about, but following Christ also includes this supernatural stuff, the spiritual stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, I'd love that. He was drawn to a church that would do the things that Jesus would do and have the power that Jesus had, not just have the talk that Jesus had, but to behold and see Jesus in the scriptures, to belong and have the community, and to become, to do the works that Christ did, to have the supernatural power. And I want you to know that it's yours, that you have it, and that you've done it. You may think, well, I've never healed anybody. I didn't heal an ear that was just chopped off like a sword like Jesus did, didn't raise anybody from the dead. I'm not really in that category. But I believe that you are. I know that you are, according to the scripture's teaching, and I believe that you are by experience when I say this. You've probably had an experience like me when you hang up the phone and said, wow, I don't know what just happened, but God was in that. God directed our conversation and I said something to that person that they really needed to hear, or they said something to me, and I know that was the Lord. That's power. That's the supernatural power of God. That's Jesus sending you out like a lamb among wolves and working supernaturally through you. I encourage you to do it more and more and to expect it. I pray that as we work together in this new season of this congregation's life, that some people in town who have been by on their proverbial unicycle, have been by doing their thing, have been by walking through the church grass, but never really wanted to come in because they weren't really sure if they'd be received, and they weren't really sure if it was just about head knowledge about the Bible or whether they'd fit in the community. When the folks in our peripheral lives, maybe folks visiting from Amsterdam, maybe folks who've been here for 50 years but have never darkened the door of this church as an inquirer into what it means to be a disciple of Christ, when they see that Jesus' work is happening here, and forgive me, I'm preaching blind. I don't know you. You may be light years ahead of where I'm preaching, but I got to preach it anyway. When they see it, perhaps they'll make that step and say, you know, I've heard nothing but bad about Christianity, but Jesus intrigues me. He was filled with this supernatural power that could reach into somebody's soul. That's what I need. So church, don't neglect your reading scripture. Get into it tonight. If you have never read through the whole Bible, start today. Start with the Jesus part, then go to the weird stuff, and then start with the Jesus part again. And just keep doing it year after year after year, because you'll always meet the love of God when you go looking for God's direction that way. And church, when you're meeting each other and greeting each other and looking for a chance to know and be known, earn each other's trust. You can't give away trust automatically, but earn it and receive it. And then open up, share the things you're struggling with, and share how God's working in your life and be formed in the image of Christ. And then be aware of how God's working through you powerfully and supernaturally. God has great works to do. Jesus is not finished. His kingdom is coming soon, and he intends to do great works through you and through this church. May God add his blessing to our hearing of his word today. Amen.